We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Former NFL offensive lineman Eric Wood. He is with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Eric, of course, is from Cincinnati, grew up in Cincinnati. Yep. And even though he's been retired for 2 years, is still the best, would still be the best offensive lineman on the Bengals right now. If you put on a uniform this moment, Eric, you'd be the best offensive lineman in the Bengals. That's a fact. You believe that?
At 248 pounds, I don't know how well I'd stack up, but they have struggled mightily in Cincinnati. Man. And with Cordy Glenn sitting out at left tackle, I played with Cordy in Buffalo.
Yeah.
He's a great ball player, but,
right, but he hasn't played.
Bad concussion, and he hasn't been back from it. And, man, that's not a good situation down there.
Are you really down to 248?
I just saw him this summer. He's skinny.
Well,
he's good.
I just left the coaches meeting at Boston College, and I had chicken parm and meatballs and salad, so probably 255 now.
Every offensive lineman, when they retire, either loses an absurd amount of weight or gains an absurd amount of weight, one way or the
other. Thank you for putting it like that, because people all the time, and it's a pride thing, I get it, you know, because I'm proud to have lost the weight, but people are always like, oh, yeah, all offensive linemen lose the weight. I'm like, yeah, the ones you see on TV, not – I got plenty of buddies. You should have came to Bills Alumni Weekend a few weeks ago and said that. Guys would have been offended.
Look at Damian Woody.
Yeah, right. He's a big boy.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
All right, Eric. Let's get to the matchup here, because you know all the hype this offseason was on the Browns. There was no hype for the Bills. And in fact, we had a caller call right before the season and tell me, oh, the Bills are going to be better than the Browns. And I was laughing at the guys.
You went nuts on the guy.
I went nuts. I said, you're out of your mind. The Bills are going to stink. Blah, blah. Shows what the hell I know. The Bills are 6-2 and the Browns are 2-6. You believe it? Did you expect it?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if I was betting before the season and I had to say coming in to week 9 that to guess the team's records, and I had a bunch of cash on the table, I would have said the Bills would have been 2-6 and the Browns at 6-2. But, you know, this is a testament of continuity and what Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean have been able to build in Buffalo is a bunch of guys. And when you turn on the film, they play hard and tough and smart, and they don't beat themselves. And that's how you play winning football in this league. And you guys have both been around the game. Dustin, with your experience playing in the game, in the league, continuity is so huge. And you have a defense in the Bills that virtually have everybody playing under the same defensive coordinator for 3 straight years. They lose Kyle Williams at defensive tackle and replace him with a top 10 pick in Ed Oliver, and almost everybody's the same. And they've drafted well, and they just have been able to build a tough team to beat that really doesn't beat themselves.
Well, Eric, I'll tell you this much. I mean, if you guys play disciplined football, tough football this week, you'll probably beat the Browns, because the Browns are – the exact opposite. They're undisciplined. They're more talented, I think, than the Buffalo Bills, but they just haven't been able to put it together to this point. And that's kind of what worries me. I mean, listen, the Bills are, you know, a team with really good discipline. They've got a really good defense. And I played for Sean McDermott when I was in Philadelphia. He's my position coach, and I know what he's all about. And I respect his business. I think the Bills are a good team, but I guess I'll ask you this much. I mean, how good are they? I mean, their schedule has been really, really kind of easy. I know they played a couple of tough games there, but for the most part, the teams they've beaten are not that good. How good are the Bills? Sorry to be so long-winded.
No, you're fine. And let me touch on the first thing you said too about the talent. You know, when you look at the star power of the Browns, like, the Bills do not have anybody on a national TV commercial, period.
Right.
You know,
yep.
When you turn on your TV, you'd be hard-pressed to find one ESPN commercial break that doesn't involve Odell Beckham or Baker Mayfield.
Right.
You know, so you're talking about serious star power. And when you go to the other side of the football, I had a conversation with Sean McDermott earlier today recording a conversation for the pregame show this Sunday, and he thinks Myles Garrett might be the best edge rusher in the NFL right now. And I don't disagree with him. I was watching the coach's film last night. And he's playing incredible. So when you look at pure star power, the Bills are not even close. But when you look at their overall roster, they're pretty much solid at every position. Do they have the absolute superstars? You know, Frank Gore will likely be a Hall of Famer, but he's, you know, in his 15th year. And you know, they have guys that have made plays in this league. Maybe one day Josh Allen will be a superstar. I think guys like Tre'Davious White and Tremaine Edmonds and Ed Oliver could be household names one day, but they're not yet, that's for sure. But guys that they have, former Brown, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, those guys are an excellent safety tandem. Lorenzo Alexander's a great linebacker. They just have so many solid players. I think they're a really good team on offense. They should continue to get better. They replaced 9 starters from a year ago. They have their offensive coordinator back from last year, Brian Daboll, but you have 9 new starters. That's virtually like having a new scheme. And then you have Josh Allen in the second year. He should continue to get better. So I think they're very solid right now. And like I mentioned earlier, I think they're tough to beat just because they don't really beat themselves and everybody plays hard and all that. But I think they'll continue to get better, and they have some serious upside.
We're talking with former NFL offensive lineman Eric Wood, now part of Bills Radio. Eric, you mentioned Frank Gore, who I feel like the guy's like 50 and he's still really good.
Still really talented.
But Devin Singletary, I'm impressed with this guy. Like, he missed some time, I know, due to injury, and he's come back. They kind of brought him along slowly. He had a big game last week against Washington, and he seems to be a real explosive back. What is the upside for him?
He's got great upside. You know, the Bills drafted him in the early third round, and a lot of people, especially in Buffalo, were thinking, hey, we have Shady McCoy and Frank Gore. What are we doing drafting a running back right now? And what he's done is he's come in and made plays, and what he did really was make Shady expendable, and that's why Shady's now in Kansas City. But Devin Singletary is not a burner. He's a 4.6 40 guy. He's not even the quickest guy on the field, but he's a great football player, and he's really sound, and he makes plays. And you know, the Bills trust him to leave him in there on third down because he can protect. He can also get out as a receiver. And early in the season, shoot, through 2 games, he averaged over 12 yards a carry. And then he tweaked his hamstring, and they've really brought him along slowly. And then last week, he got 23 touches in the game against Washington. So it'll be interesting to see if they go back to more of the Frank Gore thump you up the middle type, which the Bills had success on doing this year, or if they go back to what they did last week, and that was feed Devin Singletary. But, I mean, with them both, they're sitting at 4.6 yards per carry. It's not what the Browns have done on the ground this year, but they have a pretty good rushing attack.
Eric, what are the Bills fans saying about Josh Allen? Like, do they think he's the franchise quarterback, or are they just kind of still in kind of wait and see mode?
You know, it's funny with the Buffalo fan base because they're just jaded for pessimism after all the years, the 17-year playoff drought, and then you make the playoffs, and then you go 6-10 the next year. So they're a tough crowd to really jump on a guy and say this is our next Jim Kelly, probably the last true franchise quarterback they had up there. So they're hopeful. Josh's numbers this year have improved. It's funny, coming out of Wyoming, everyone said, well, he's got this huge arm. Yeah. He'll be able to throw a deep ball, but that's about it. Well, what he's been able to do with his legs has been remarkable, but that's not sustainable throughout a career. And then this year, his completion percentage is up. It's over 60%, but he's been really good on the intermediate and short passing game, and he has not completed a ball all year that has traveled over 20 yards in the air, which has a lot of Bills fans, which, you know, this is a problem every team would love to have. You're 6-2 and you're bagging on, you know, small details, like can't complete a long pass or whatever it may be. But, you know, they are harping on a little bit up there for it.
You think they're playing? Does this happen, Eric, at all? Like, I was stunned when I saw that the Browns are favored by 3 points in this game. Is that something the coach is going to use and say, you're 6-2, they're 2-6, and everybody thinks the Browns are going to win, they're favored in this game?
They're
is that
home.
Something you, is that, well, whatever, but they're 4 games better. Is that something that would coach use anything as motivation? You never know. Is that something he would use or no?
You know, I know I would.
Yeah.
And on a neutral field, you know, the home field in the NFL is generally a 3-point swing on normal travel conditions and everything. So they're basically saying on a neutral field, these teams are even, which when I turn on the tape, I would say that, shoot, or I might even favor Cleveland. You know, it's when you got, you know, guys I've played against personally, like when you got guys like Olivier Vernon and Sheldon Richardson, and you're really just talking, you know, you talk about Myles Garrett and his 10 sacks, but when you have guys like that on the team, plus all the talent they have all over the rest of the field, like it does not surprise me one bit. You know, Cleveland can go one of two directions from here. They can say, hey, we have what do they have, the second easiest schedule in the remaining games and say, look, we can go on a run, we can make the playoffs. 9 wins might make the playoffs this year in the AFC. It's not unreasonable to say that they can get 7. So they're going to come out really hungry Sunday. That's probably why they're favored. But when you I've played on teams that are 2-6. If you give them some doubt and make them feel like they're going to lose, that's going to be in your favor. So, you know, starting fast for either team will be valuable on Sunday.
Eric, you in Boston College this weekend? Florida State, right?
Yeah, so I got Florida State, Boston College. So at 4:30 today, we have our Florida State meeting, so that'll be interesting. You know, with Odell Haggins, the new head coach there. And
that's crazy.
You know, they fire him. And that's – so, I mean, it's obviously different, but we're kind of saying the same things about Florida State this week. It's, hey, you know, when you got your back up against the wall, you go one of two ways. Yeah. And when you got a team like Boston College, you got to be thinking, man, we need to put it on them early because we don't want to give them a ton of confidence, because Florida State has a ton of talent and they can get it going. They just have played under expectations again.
Eric, speaking of college, you and Lamar Jackson, of course, went to the same college, and I don't know, you know, I'm not sure how close you are with him, if at all, but you know, it's funny. We hate the Ravens. They're rivals here, right? We can't stand them, but I love Lamar Jackson. I love watching him play. He's so much fun. We'll see if this is sustainable in the long term. The guy is 11th in the NFL in rushing yards, and he's improved big time as a passer, Eric. What are your thoughts on what he's done so far this year?
Well, I love to hear that you're in Cleveland and love him, because he's an absolutely an incredible kid, and he's so refreshing to be around. He's hard not to like when you spend time with him. I used to work out with the college kids when I was playing, so I spent a lot of time around him. I'm also a big fan of their offensive coordinator, Greg Roman. I played under him in Buffalo. I played under their offensive line coach, Joe D'Alessandro, under another staff in Buffalo. So a lot of ties to that organization. I followed him pretty close. I don't know how sustainable it is to play his style forever. I think one thing he does do a good job of is avoiding big hits, kind of the way Shady runs. You know, Shady's in his 11th year out of Pittsburgh, and it seems like he never takes a big shot. Lamar's kind of cut from that same mold. Hope I didn't jinx him. But, you know, he's been able to do some really special things this year. And what he was able to do on Sunday Night Football, you know, against the Patriots, you know, that instantly validates you in the league when you can do something like that in the spotlight.
Eric, let's wrap with this, or at least last for me. This game this weekend, Bills-Browns, how do you see it playing out?
Man, that's a good question. I think it's going to be a good ball game. You know, the Bills have played a number of tight ball games. No matter who they played this year, whether it's the Patriots or the Dolphins, they've all been pretty close. The Eagles pulled away a little bit on them at the end, but that game was closer than the scoreboard would indicate. You know, I think it's a close game. It's tough to call. It's a really tough one to call, honestly, because by picking the Bills, you're banking on probably some turnovers from the Browns and pre-snap penalties and some stuff that we've seen all year from them. But last week they shored up the penalties, and really it was the red zone deficiency last week for the Browns that got them. What were they, 1-for-5 on touchdowns in the red zone, I think.
Yep.
You know, so that's what gets them last week, or else they win that ball game. The one weakness, you know, the Bills have this, you know, by a lot of defensive stats, they're top 5 in the league, 3rd in scoring, and in a number of other categories as well, top 3, but their red zone defense is 22nd in the league. So this is a chance that Cleveland could bounce back. You know, I'm an absolute homer, and I hate it.
As you should be.
I'm going to say on here the Bills would win, but, you know, it would not surprise me one bit to see Cleveland play extremely hungry, have Freddie Kitchens get them going. You know, in the NFL, it's a week-to-week league, and you always, as a coach, say, hey, next game. But sometimes when you're 2-6, I don't think it's inappropriate to say, hey, look, guys, we've been through the gauntlet so far. Our opponents the rest of the year, I think I saw, had a 0.31 win percentage. Like, let's get on a roll here and have those guys ready to roll.
Eric, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks for joining us.
No, my pleasure. Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Eric,
appreciate it, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.